is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
From what day you may find out, certain people not like me. Everyone got us bag a thing now. Makes true me, I do it like Nike. But me not fear no guy now. No matter how hard them a spite me, me just a go and do me thing now. Me just a do it like Nike.
Talking Heads with Naughty is brought to you by BTC, Burger King, the Cancer Treatment Centers of America, the Cleveland Clinic, Dunkin' Donuts, Fine Threads, John's Department Store, Joker's Wild, KFC, Naughty Johnny's, Percy's Island Games, and Rise Bahamas.
Now me and the dog, them a link up. Big truck, 20 inch rim, just a spin up. The pioneer, just a kicks up. And a hip-hop apocalypse up.
Hello.
You can't see the star through the tint up. Plus me and the Cuban a link up. Rose gold so the Cuban link tough. How much ice just a hurr and me rings up.
Okay.
From what day you may find out, certain people don't like me. Everyone cock us bag a thing now. Bex throw me, I do it like Nike. But me not fear no guy now. No matter how hard them a spite me, me just a go and do me thing now. Me just a do it like Nike. 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 Me just a do it like Nike.
If I tell you the truth, if I were you, then me probably woulda like me neither. Fresh to the town, born again, them said the flow ungodly, my mind need Jesus. Girls call cookies when my mind need reefer. Girl, when my frost, you can't style me neither. Aim excellent, point blank, tell the truth. Bullets never miss the chin like a Chinese teacher. Yeah, every bad mind, fraud, them is them parents, the corrupt.
The Tuesday, June 9th edition of Talking Heads is on. I'm popping your boy Naughty in your company right up until 6 p.m. And let me tell you, for all of y'all who have to go on a daily basis and deal with government offices and lines and financial institutions and anything, like just any everyday business, all right? I respect you. I have a whole new respect for you. Because I had to go run some errands for my dad, who's coming along well. Thank you all for sending your prayers and inquiring. He's doing well. But I'll tell you, that was Fallujah out there today, baby. That was something like from Apocalypse Now. Like, it was like a war scene. I don't envy anybody who got to say they got to run errands or they got to go do business. Oh, Jesus. But I was put through the ringers today. The ringers. Mr. Producer, I promise you today is one of them days when it all come down to the end. My 2 feet will go up and the old number 7 will pour over ice on a slow sip and watch that NBA game. Oh, yeah. But I digress. At least, you know, to pick up my mood a little bit and get me a little invigorated is a good conversation with my friends in Freeport, Sarah Kirby and Darren Cooper. Obviously, we have Sarah Kirby and Darren Cooper chiming in. Today is Tuesday. And you as well can chime in New Providence, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. In the Family Islands, Grand Bahama, and any one of the Family Islands, toll free, 242-300-5720, 242-300-5720. Text lines powered by BTC, 422-GR96. That's 422-4796. Stream us live, take us wherever you want to go, guardiantalkradio.com. That's guardiantalkradio.com. All right. Now, with that being said, you can also catch us on cable channel 969, BTC Flow channel 612. Let's get down to Freeport. As you know, each and every Tuesday, we got the Grand Bahama Supplement from the Grand Bahama News. Got Sarah Kirkby joining us live now as well. And don't forget, Mr. Darren Cooper. So let's go down to Freeport. Guys, what's going on? Appreciate your patience today. What's happening? Bring me the good news from my Freeport. Hey. We got Sarah today.
You got me. Darren's supposed to be chiming in.
All right.
But
no,
I know
not
he
a
had
problem.
An event, and then he's going to come on. We'll chase him now and get him on. How you doing, my love? You good?
I'm good. What's good in Freeport, Sarah?
Well, this is my double day today. I was already on Guardian Radio this morning with your friend, Mr. Grant.
Holiday. Oh, you know, Holiday, you imitate plenty what I do, you know. How it is exactly. Running that trail that I blaze. You know how that goes. Except I don't wear scarves.
That's funny. Sorry.
I don't wear scarves. No, I don't. So what you got for me? So no, what you and Howard was talking about?
So he's been up. He's here actually for a whole week doing stories. He spoke to Rupert Hayward yesterday and had an exclusive interview with him. Then he talked to Grand Bahama Power today and James Carey, the chamber president. And he's doing a whole story on a whole week on Grand Bahama, what's going on. He feels we're being rejuvenated. I totally feel we're getting there. We're coming back after all the storms and all the issues. But, you know, we've got some hot issues at the same time. God forbid Grand Bahama was just calm and nothing was going on.
He wasn't talking about any of the ground faking? Oh, he was just keeping it like you, Pollyanna. All nice and fluffy and happy and good.
He wasn't doing Pollyanna. Don't worry. He was going a little bit tough. A bit tougher than me. But, you know, I'm the positive. Things are getting better.
But it depends. Scarf on or scarf off. You get the scarf on, then you ain't getting tough. You get the scarf off, you're getting tough. So maybe he had the scarf off today.
I think he was getting a little bit tough with Grand Bahama Power. We were actually talking about you were on the show because we were saying how you and I go back and forth because that's our big thing here, that we have good power. So we were talking nice about you.
But good. Now you're talking bad about him. See how that goes? See how the world is go 360? Now we got balance.
I was also saying how fabulous you have been to let me talk about the newspaper all the time. And I have to say thank you.
I don't think
people who listen to us every week can send me WhatsApps and voice notes and stuff and say how great it is and how nice it is to hear about what's happening in Grand Bahama and our positive stories and negative. But it's so great that they tune in and listen to us every week.
About everything, man. That's why we do it each and every Tuesday. And people do enjoy it, man. And we have a lot of Grand Bahamians here in New Providence that want to know what's going on back home.
Yeah, I've got my crew at Mia Bahamas. I got my crew at Bahamas Waste, Harborside, lots of people. It's great. And thank you for the shout-outs, and especially the two lovely gentlemen who accosted me in the supermarket. I think I have to give an autograph, but that was really nice.
And nothing wrong with that, man. Let's get into it. What you got for us there, Sarah, out of Grand Bahama? Because I know there's a lot going on.
Well, obviously, the main story today is the debate that escalates on the way forward for Freeport, which is a huge thing. So you're going to see the feedback from local licensees in the story today. So I'm going to encourage you to go online and find it, but obviously to buy the paper and support us. And it's talking about the Prime Minister's comments that he made in the budget debate about Grand Bahama and the Port Authority and the Hawksville Creek Agreement.
Well, that's been going on for a long time, though. I mean, come on. That again, is like a soap opera. We've been hearing episodes, you know? That's like Falcon Crest and North Landing and Dallas.
And I think, you know, I understand what the government is saying, but I also understand what the port is saying. I am probably like most licensees. I believe that the Hawksville Creek Agreement is a great agreement if used properly. I do believe there needs to be better dialogue between the government and the Port Authority to make things happen. So it is a one-stop shop and not a double approval process. But, you know, this is above my pay grade on how it goes with each other. I just know that Freeport has, or Grand Bahama and Extension has a lot of possibilities. We have the roads, we have the canal system that's phenomenal that you would never be able to build now, or environmentally or financially. Our canal system is phenomenal. And I know it's one of the drawing points that brought Weller to the island as well. So, and their Sixth Sense of spa that they're bringing. So the Hawksville Creek Agreement is good. It just needs to be used properly. And obviously we're all really waiting, as Leslie Davis says in the paper today, to see what exactly the Prime Minister is unhappy with and what he feels is not being done. There has been a lot of back and forth between Minister Mitchell, Frederick McAlpine on that subject as well. And Mitchell did say some things at the labor walk the other day that he felt that he brought, that his government brought the current, all of the items that Ian Rolla has been talking about that have come into fruition as of late for the Port Authority. And the Port Authority is saying that they did it. So you've got that contention there. But it is a dual process. They both have to be involved in it. But, you know, I think it's a benefit the whole country to see the Port Authority thrive or to see Grand Bahama thrive and survive. Because there are so many people that live in Nassau that want to come home. And space-wise, we have the space for the growth and to bring people here and for things to happen. But there are problems on both sides. There are issues at the Port Authority that need to be resolved and things that don't go well that everyone's not happy about as well. So there are some good points being brought up by both sides. So it's a big contention. And I know Darren, he's quoted in our article today, and I hope he's going to be able to tune in and give you his side of the comments about that.
All right. So like I said, though, I mean, this has been going on for minutes, Sarah. I mean, when we hear new problems from the outside, look from the outside to look in, it's always been, okay, you know, Freeport's beautiful. They got this going and they got on, but they can't ever get it together with the port. What's happening? So now, I think it's the potential that it needs to come to the table. And like you said, the dialogue needs to come up. You got to have the discussion, you know? Avoid the elephant in the room. Have that yeah. tough conversation. Maybe swallow a tough pill or two, and then go from there. But the dialogue has to be had, and all sides concerned need to be heard. And at the end of the day, if those who are involved in the port want to continue at their stake because it's been there for so long, but they want to involve Bahamians and meet halfway, then that's what we need to look at, and that's what we need to explore. But the bully boy tactics that I've seen from some in this present administration don't seem to work. You know, I mean, you catch more flies with honey than you do with salt, right?
I would agree with that, yeah.
But anyway.
And I think coming with the potential that's coming on the market, you've got Six Senses coming. You've got the Carnival Cruise Port. You've got the announcement the other day about the MSC and RCL project down at the harbor. You have the extension coming finally for the shipyard with the new terminals that they're going to get as well. So there is the strength in that coming, but there needs to be more. And I think there are a lot of projects that people want to come in to the island, but they face difficulties. And the problem is you've got one side that'll say it's the port and one side that'll say it's the government. Which one is it? Let it go. It's got to move on. And then you've got the airport, which is being sorted out now, and we're all waiting for that to happen. And then you've got the other elephant, which is the hotel. And we've got to get that as well. Because, you know, you're looking over at the Grand Lakai, it's a beautiful space, and we do need a main hotel like that going. I know the government's working hard to get that sorted, and I really wish that could come to fruition for everybody. It would be so great for the island as well.
All right, Sarah, you broke up there.
Can you hear me now? Because just so you know, Darren has joined. So if you want me to let me just run through the other stories and then we can go right back to the port story, would that be okay?
No, why don't we do this? Let's get to the break. We'll wrap up with what and then we'll get into the conversation with Don. Let him go clean from the top so he can cover everything, the port and whatever else we discuss.
Sounds good to me.
All right, so let's get to that break. And on the flip side of the break, we'll pick it right back up on the Tuesday, June 6th edition of Talking Heads. And Don, I hear you in the background. Welcome. We'll get caught up on the flip side of the break.
After a hurricane or storm, get the Nassau Guardian's Hurricane Guide. The guide will tell you where to purchase building and cleaning supplies, waste disposal, medical care, which auto shop to go to after driving through flooded streets, and much more. The Nassau Guardian's Hurricane Guide will help to make sure everyone knows what to do in the event a hurricane approaches and after it departs. Take advantage of this double insertion opportunity plus 15 radio commercials. Contact us today, 302-2300, 302-2300, or call your account executive. Will you be prepared?
Juicy! juicy fried chicken, mashed potatoes with gravy, and a hot buttery biscuit for only $5. That's genius! Part of the KFC Genius menu, the KFC $5 Snack Box delivers on flavor and value. Need to feed more than one? KFC's Great Picks has got you covered. Packed with 4 thighs and 4 legs, fried to golden perfection, plus 4 buttery biscuits for only $20. More genius! Hungry for deals? The Genius Menu at KFC. It's finger-licking good.
Play with Island Games.
We making dreams come true.
Play with Island Games.
We paying more out to you. Don't mind the noise in the market. You getting cash in your pocket.
Cause Island Games is spicy, and spicy is tradition.
So when you play
Island Games,
we putting Bahamian's voice guaranteed to pay.
Island Games.
We like them other jokers. We've been here from the start, from the bike to computer.
Island Games.
We gonna make your dreams come true.
We playing with Island Games.
George Shoes and Accessories is your one-stop shop for all your footwear needs. Whatever the occasion, John's is confident you will find what you're looking for. Among our always growing collection of amazing and trendy styles, we cover women, men, children, the whole family. Together with John's great prices and helpful and friendly customer service, your experience in shopping with us will be time well spent. Too busy to come in store? Shop with us online, www.johnshoes.com. John's also now carries small home appliances. So come on in today at John's, where we put fashion at your feet.
People, what you thinking?
We want something different.
People, what you wanting?
We want local government.
I can tell them no more slunking.
We want see it function.
I can tell them no more joking.
I forgot.
Going down Blue Hill Road, going down Village Road, going down Nassau Road. We want local government. We want local government. We want local government.
Share the love.
We want local government.
We are called for local government.
Sign the petition and find out more information at risebahamas.net.
Experience the pure deliciousness of Dunkin's Glazed Donut Breakfast Sandwich. This sweet and savory breakfast treat stacks a fluffy egg and smoked bacon sandwiched inside a split classic Dunkin' Glazed Donut. Make it a combo with lightly seasoned hash browns and your favorite freshly brewed Dunkin' coffee. Stop by your favorite Dunkin' today and take breakfast to a fun and tasty level with the Dunkin' Glazed Donut Breakfast Sandwich. The Bahamas runs on Dunkin'.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Talking Heads, the Tuesday, June 6th edition of Talking Heads continues right now. And let's go back to Freeport. We got Sarah Kirkby and Darren Cooper joining us live for the Freeport Report. And we managed the first story with Sarah. Obviously, we're talking about the whole situation between the escalating debate on the way forward for Freeport. And there's some other stories. So I'm going to let Sarah chime back in with the other stories, and then Darren and I will have our convo on the rundown. What's happening, Darren? What's happening, Sarah?
I'm good. I'm good to be here. Yeah, let's tell all the good stuff, and then we'll just shoot up.
Yeah, we you know, she can play Pollyanna. We'll play Debbie Downer. Let's do it.
All right, let's do it. So you guys can go back to the Port Authority story, but the next story is about roadworks that are happening in Grand Bahama. So it was an announcement the previous week about the Port Authority doing work in certain areas. So there are 3 contracts that went out to different bidders. There's a story on it, who got the work and where that work is happening. So we're just kind of letting people know about where these works will be happening and any delays that you'll have in our massive traffic issues that we could have here, Darren.
Yes.
It might take you 15 minutes instead of 10 minutes to get somewhere. So there we go. The other good news is that there's a new ship coming to the island, a new cruise ship, the Mariella, which is coming for the summer. It's a European-based cruise liner, so it's their first time here. So it was very enthusiastic that they're coming with passengers anywhere from 1,500 to 2,000 every 2 weeks. So this is great news for GB. And hopefully our people will put their best foot forward and really sell ourselves and make these people come back and visit us again and again. So this is a great opportunity for us and great news for that cruise ship. There's also another
About the cruise ship. Let me just interject, all right?
Yes, cruise ship boy.
cruise ship man now, but yes. Here's the deal. I hear a lot of hullabaloo about, you know, people making noise about people going directly down to a certain property and bypassing certain areas. But listen, I see that as good old-fashioned business 101. When I used to run the Zoo nightclub, a big part of our promotion team was cab drivers. I get $5 a head, you know, you keep bringing me the cab loads. So I don't see why, is there not enough to go around?
I mean, I think there is not enough to go around.
If I see videos of people
hit the nail on the head,
pontificating at 5 in the morning, the cruise report, there's 4,420 in Grand Bahama. You don't think 2,200 could go one way and 2,200 could go the next?
And not if I could jump in as well to that. The problem with the particular area that's crying or calling out for tourists to be brought to the area, their challenge is that they don't have proper beach access. And if the government can give them proper beach access, it'll be able to then trickle down. You know, these guests go from cruise ships with the understanding to be able to enjoy the sun and see that we boast and brag about. And so, for them, you know, Port Lakaya has one of the beautifulest beaches in the back of that hotel. I mean, gorgeous beach in the back of the hotel. But to get to it, they're basically walking through the bush. And if we can get the boardwalk open, which is in the middle of Port Lakaya, where there's security guards, and they're walking through somewhat of a more
refined, clean, decent area, 100%,
Darren. Then you can get 200 past 2,000 passengers to that area to be able to give some level of life back to the script. So that's one of the challenges that they have. It's not about getting the cab drivers to bring them there, but what am I going to bring them to? Just the straw market?
And the stores, they want to do both, beach.
Yeah, you see, so that's
there
a challenge. That's a challenge that the government needs to be able to deal with and give them a boardwalk and a proper beach access.
But listen, my point is this. It's not just there in Grand Bahama. It's throughout. Unless we put the generating revenue, I mean, the tours and the attractions that are going to generate revenue for Bahamians as well as interested tourists, it's not going to happen. You can't have Bay Street derelict and not have stuff going on. You can't have Freeport as big as it is and expect them just to go to one location or the straw market. That ain't going to work. Invest in a product.
The hotel that sits there, the Grand Lakaian, is a beautiful property. And granted, not all of it is open at the moment, which is a shame. But there is a gorgeous walkway straight across from Port Lakaya Marketplace, which would be a beautiful access for people to walk through to go to the beach if they desire. They could go to the beach, then they could come back. There's also a bar they could go to and spend money at the Grand Lakaian property. Why would you not want them to come there and see it and then see the hotel? Instead, they send them to the very far end of the beginning of that whole street access to a access. It is, and there's no other word for it. It's disgusting.
Yes,
it's disgusting, and no one should go through it. And they send them to a rocky beach.
We are the lowest.
It's just unbelievable that this is happening. And Darren, you brought up that's the
that's
best
why we
point.
Have the lowest spend in the
that.
Region, though. That's the problem. That's why the cruise ship tourists spend the least with us. We're one of the lowest spends in the region. Mm-hmm. If we get $100 with an excursion thrown in, that's a lot. I mean, we don't even get that.
The property has the ability to do wonders for not just straw vendors, but braiders, jet ski operators, chair rental, you name it. And even though the property may be closed, the beach is absolutely beautiful. It's clean and it's well maintained. And I mean, it's sad that we're not even tapping into the possibilities that not just a portion, because a portion of the hotel that they're using for the beach, which is at the ending part, but the beginning and the middle is absolutely beautiful beach. And I hope that they one day will tap into it. And that will bring back not just for the straw vendors, but for the whole marketplace, will bring back life to that area.
But it's not only that, it's also the guests that stay at Pelican Bay. Pelican Bay, they're shipping them by boat over to Taino Beach. When, why can't they just walk across the street and use the beach that's there, that's stunning? And then you also, you know, you never know who's staying on these hotels or visiting. You want, you don't want them to see that horrible path. You want them to look at it. They might be someone who's going to buy the property. You don't know who they are. So they shouldn't see it. And I think, Darren, you made a really good point there. We really should be agitating the Ministry of Tourism or the DPM, Chester Cooper, to really request that that road access be opened. I think it would behoove us
promised.
All. It would look stunning.
It was promised over a year ago that when the vendors would have gotten that $500 payout, the agreement was they would have given them $500 to secure their boots, and they would have then worked on the boardwalk being open and putting a little more activity. But they went ahead and take the easier route, or the route that was not meaningful, in putting entertainment in the Port Lakaya marketplace area and John Canoe. They can get John Canoe after they didn't go on the beach. You understand? And so if you go to the beach, what's going to happen to the restaurants? I'm going to
It's got to be some organization to the confusion. It's got to be organized confusion. It can't just be confusion.
You know, yes, who's probably suggesting the beach access to be open, and they're just being disgusting and not just opening it. That's all I can say.
Let's go to the phone lines. We got a call here. So let's see what our call has to say. Talking Heads, Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Who's this?
And a pleasant good evening to Mr. Naughty.
What's going on, Bucket Mud Sparky? Last time you texted me, he was cursing me dead stink. But anyway, everything cool.
Listen to this survey. It was done by Steve Harvey.
I don't listen to nothing Steve Harvey say. Nothing.
Dubai and the Bahamas says, Dubai has built their country in 50 years.
Sparky, stop. Dubai plays Steve Harvey, that sellout, millions of dollars, to pontificate and say how great Dubai is. If Dubai paid me the same way, I would drop trout all over the Bahamas right now. I would. I thought bad about us. Because that's the amount of money they pay for us. So Steve is a sellout. I'll tell you why Steve's a sellout. Man, you can come to Joker's Wild when you're a broke comic and you make no money and you're wearing members-only jackets, and you come 20 years later and we say, hey, could you sign the picture for old time's sake? And you say, no, I can't be bothered to walk to the club. Send a bellman over with it. I'll sign it and send it back. Forget you, man, and forget Dubai. But go ahead, Sparky.
Okay, Naughty.
Oh, sellout Steve. Sucker. Anyway, go ahead.
Hey, Naughty now. You got your blow.
And he wasn't even the funniest king of comedy, too. Lord bless the dead, Bernie Mac. Now I done. Go ahead.
And the Bahamas is vision. Dubai had a vision.
The vision of Dubai, Atlantis. Hold on. The vision in Dubai? Boy, I see Atlantis look identical to the Atlantis we got here in Dubai. What kind of vision that is? That's copycat.
Then I could get chance to say what I
got. Go ahead. I just letting you know. I just caught it how I see
you know,
it today.
Use the bucket mode over there. I said use the comedian.
Who say I don't do brown bottle like you today? Go ahead.
Hold on. Okay. The difference between Dubai and the Bahamas was the vision of leaders. The Bahamas is the third leading economy in the Western Hemisphere next to America and Canada. We are the smallest little nation in the Western Hemisphere, but most expensive place to live in the Western Hemisphere. We all right on that track so far?
Yeah. I don't know how to math this way, but yeah, you're
right.
The
difference is the vision of our leaders, whether they be politicians, religious leaders, and social leaders, had no vision. The thing is, if we had the vision and started letting, they say, 19 families in the Bahamas, what we call the elites, control everything from way back before the PLP came into power, and they still own everything today. Those 19 families had the vision to pass things down to their families. When the black Bahamians came into there, they went after the love of money, what the Bible said, it's the root of all evil. Everybody want big house, fancy dancing and partying, for a certain group of people and leave the local people behind. They didn't take the people with them. Okay? We have the biggest advantage in the Western Hemisphere as the Bahamas to be one of the best and biggest members of the Dogon Commonwealth of Nations underneath Britain. Am I right so far?
I let you go, Sparky. Finish up. I got 41 on the line.
Okay, now that's that vision. There's another vision that came out that you don't know, boy. Let me tell you something. Naughty. My uncle there up in Ireland named Mr. Arthur Guinness had another vision. If you check all the leading athletes in the world who've won all the gold medals around the world and all the Olympics and everything, none of them lived over the age of 70. Will Chamberlain and all them basketball and softball and football, all them people never lived over the age of 70. I'm 72. The vision of my uncle up there in Ireland, Mr. Arthur Guinness, gives us a vision. Drink Guinness. Tell all the governments about their booty and everything. Have fun and enjoy life. And I guarantee you, Naughty, you will live past every doggone millionaire athlete in the world, and you might live to doggone 90 or 100.
There you go.
Drink Guinness every day. Have a good time. I agree on the side.
All right.
I got a couple today, too.
There you go, Sparky. Enjoy your Guinness. Let's get back to Freeport and wrap things up in Freeport. With some of the other stuff you all had, you know, Sparky's quite the character. But, I mean, if you look at it, though.
Well, he didn't call me out this time, so that was good.
we keep spinning our wheels in the mud. Like, we've been doing it for a long time. It's like we talk about the same issues over and over again.
There's a huge comparison also with Dubai and the Port Authority, so you should get to that one when we get there. I'll finish off. We've done the Mariella and the ship, and we've discussed the change we need at Grand Lakai. And the other thing I want to, and I really do want the young entrepreneurs to pay attention to this one. There's a great story in about UB Ignite. It's a program focusing on launching businesses here in Grand Bahama. And it's a chance for young entrepreneurs or people looking for help to start a business to use this program. It's being funded, I believe, I don't want to get it wrong, by the Inter-American Development Bank. And there's a lot of funding out there and support for people. So that's a really good story that's in there for young people today.
All right, I got a quick one. Text Naughty, good day. I'm texting from Houston, Texas. Well, hey, you texting from Texas? That's some good stuff. H-Town, what's good? Glad you're listening. Glad you got it locked and loaded. And I don't be a stranger. Text more often. My question, Naughty, is why is Fred Mitchell running on with the Grand Bahama Port Authority? Is he the mouthpiece for the government? Well, Texas, sometimes he seems to think so. You know, the PM will say something. He'll say something else. He'll get ahead of things and say what he thinks. So. Yeah, he may be. That's how he's carrying on, so he might be. I know he wears two hats. He needs to only wear one. Either you're going to be the Minister of Foreign Affairs or you're going to be the chairman of the party, which is which. Naughty, Ingram suggested long ago that the government buy the Grand Bahama Port Authority. The Minnesota administration also had that interest. What is so masterful and genius about Brave's suggestions? Darren, you want to answer that one?
My stand... With government owning or buying the Port Authority is very scary for me. You know, I'm not that fond of it. We've seen government manage many things, and they've not done well in it. And there's nothing new under the sun as it relates to dealing with the Port Authority. This whole discussion of the Port Authority and renewing was under Ingram, then it went to Perry, and now the approval was given under Perry and went to Minnis, and now we have the Prime Minister 2 years in, almost into his term, say, oh, we're going to deal with this, or we're going to do this as related to the Oxford Agreement, and so forth. I'll add my piece as related to the Port Authority in this vein. 90%, you know, the Prime Minister said that investor confidence in Grand Bahama is on the all-time low. I beg to differ, because I can tell you I've sat with two investors who has great interest in Grand Bahama, two. They meet all of the requirements, got all of the approvals that's necessary from the Grand Bahama Port Authority. But you know where they stuck? They stuck in the government approval standpoint. And so the growth of the development of, and I'm not the fan of the port. I believe that the port needs to be dealt with. I believe that leadership at the Grand Bahama Port Authority needs to be reviewed. I think we are lacking leadership. But the truth be told, that the government agencies have stagnated the growth and the development of Grand Bahama over the years. And especially under the former administration, when they would have put this new law in place, where now everything has to go through government for approval, for final approval. You understand? And so it's not where the Grand Bahama Port Authority doesn't have investments lined up. Yeah, I know the president always say, you know, we got investments in the pipeline. We got this in the pipeline. And the problem, we can't get them with the dying pipeline, is because the government agencies continue to stagnate the moving forward. The Carnival Cruise Port took the length of time it took because, again, government agencies. And so, you know, it's very interesting that the prime minister said, oh, you know, we're going to have to deal with this at the port, we're going to review this at the port authority, and we're going to have to get rid of the principal owners. 2 years into this, and if we start any level of legal action or any fighting that's going on, the island's not going to go anywhere, because now we're going to have a bunch of legal injunction here, an injunction there. And you know what happens with injunction? No growth. And so I'm scared. I'm concerned. I believe the Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, the Honorable Philip Brave Davis, should do what we suggested 1 year ago. And that is to meet the Grand Bahama Port Authority executives and its principal owners to the round table and work together for the building and the growing of Grand Bahama. And say what needs to be said at the table, give the ultimatum that needs to be given at the table, and suggest what needs to be suggested, rather than speaking to these investors, who they are, through the public domain. He's not met with them. He's not been interested in meeting with them. And in the response, or in the words of his office, the Prime Minister has no interest in meeting with the Grand Bahama Port Authority. And you want it. And development? We're heading to the road of destruction. If he doesn't get beyond whatever he's been told, and get to the round table and work towards a better Grand Bahama, so that our GDP could go up from 9 back to 12 or probably to 25.
Boy, it's that time, folks. We got to get to the news. We got to get to the break. But Darren and Sarah, I appreciate you as always. I mean, we got to pick up this conversation again next Tuesday. Let me ask you a question. Can we start running like a... I think what we need to do is like a checklist. We need to come next Tuesday with our bucket list for Freeport, and between now and the end of the year, see exactly what we could check off.
All right, we can do that. I like that. I'm all about the list.
I mean, we got some distressed properties that we need dealt with. We need some talented kids highlighted. We need some businesses supported. We need all kind of stuff going on. So we got our list. We can go now.
The properties can't be done because they're having a problem again with government giving them a leeway to take the distressed properties down. That's what the Port Authority is saying. There is an issue there as well, which again is being held up by the government.
They needed so much in Grand Bahama, and they refuse to own up to what they've done to Grand Bahama.
Yeah.
The port is no, but they are the blame.
The text, this text says, if government buys the Port Authority, I will pack up and leave. Government can't manage what they have. Dear God, not the Port Authority as well.
I'm not sure how I'm going to leave, but I agree with the caller.
How much would the Port Authority cost? Mucho dinero, which we would probably have to pay for. So the conversation continues, but I think obviously this is the kind of agitation we need to get to the tables, to get the powers that be to the tables and have the conversations we need to have. Because Freeport needs it. Abaco needs it. Talked to them yesterday. Same thing. I mean, we got to stop spinning the wheels in the mud, and we got to get to where we need to be.
Naughty, I'll say this.
Can't be Nassau-centric.
Exactly.
When the community of Grand Bahama took a slam against the Grand Bahama Port Authority, we didn't just go to that door busting our gum. We went to the door with a document questioning them on things that we felt as a community and as a business community, we needed answers. When those answers and those questions came back and we had our sit-down meeting, persons felt as if it was a buyout sit-down meeting. It was not that type of meeting because we didn't hold punches with the Grand Bahama Port Authority executives. And we had all of them in the room. There was none missing. The shareholders were there. None was missing. We laid our cards on the table. We then realized in that meeting, Naughty, that the problem is not at the feet of the Port Authority for Grand Bahama. The problem for Grand Bahama is at the feet of our government, successive governments, continues. And one of the things that was said a few days ago in an interview from an executive Port Authority is that the relationship between the Hubert Ingram and the Edward St. George was that relationship where we got to wait for the betterment of this island. And so our personal issues and egos, we can put aside and we can come together to grow the island. because the island being the island functioning and working and taking off is betterment to the government. The government taxes goes up. The government demand from the island is less. Not had that much working relationship with executives since Hubert Ingraham. I cannot speak much about Perry Christie other than the fact that he's done a review. But we need for government now, this government, to stop speaking about the port in the media and come speak to the port face to face. That's what we need.
As well as the licensees. The licensees are a part of this, Darren, right? As well.
Correct.
We're all licensees.
Before we get out here for you guys, I know that you said a way forward for Grand Bahama to rebound is for a conversation to be had, but I feel as though the time for talking is pointless. The port is not only useless, but keeps holding Grand Bahama back. If we do away with the two political parties and the port, Grand Bahama can become the great success that it once was. I don't know. I think we need to pick up on that next Tuesday, because that's something we need to look at. Can Grand Bahama get back to where it was? Why you want to go back? Don't you want to go forward and just explode onto the scene bigger and better and brighter and newer? With a little bit of that old school flavor in there? Don't forget your past, but I mean, it's an ample new product and take it to full 100. I think Grand Bahamians are onto something there, and I think they want to be part of that revolution and that renaissance. We got to talk about that next week, the renaissance for Grand Bahama. I appreciate you guys so much. Be safe. Have a good week, and we'll talk again next Tuesday, all right?
Thanks, Nutty.
All right. Mr. Producer, get me to the break, and on the flip side of the break, Earl of Pearl will be holding down the 5 o'clock hour. I have a commitment that I have to fulfill. So Pearlie will be holding it down and we'll be talking all the sports. So chime on in. Pearlie waiting for you on the flip side of the break. Don't.
Experience the pure deliciousness of Dunkin's Glazed Donut Breakfast Sandwich. This sweet and savory breakfast treat stacks a fluffy egg and smoked bacon sandwiched inside a split plastic Dunkin' Glazed Donut. Make it a combo with lightly seasoned hash browns and your favorite freshly brewed Dunkin' coffee. Stop by your favorite and take breakfast to a fun and tasty level with the Dunkin' Glazed Donut Breakfast Sandwich. The Bahamas runs on Dunkin'.
When I had got prostate cancer, my family didn't know if I was going to live at Cancer Treatment Centers of America. Within days, I got an appointment. They presented me with treatment options. And we set up a robotic prostatectomy. When my scans came back, there are no signs of cancer. They don't see you as a number. They see you as a part of family. I'm going on with my life. It's a real gift.
Call us at Cancer Treatment Centers of America.
With fine style, with elegant taste, then fine threads is your place. If you want those slacks hemmed or just taking the waist, then fine threads is your place. If you want to look suave and debonair everywhere you go, like you're supposed to be in a video. Want to step out and look great? Then fine threads is your place. With fine style, with elegant taste, then fine threads is your place. Is your place, is your place.
Tired of paying too many bills and loan payments each month?
Shrink your monthly debt payments down to one easy payment with our debt consolidation loan.
It also has a built-in savings that pays you 5% interest.
Inquire about our debt consolidation loans today.
Call 356-7764.
Attention all KFC lovers! Are you ready to get crazy on Tuesdays? Now you can get 5 juicy mouth-watering pieces of KFC chicken for only $10. It's crazy! 5 pieces of world-famous KFC chicken, handmade with a secret blend of 11 herbs and spices for only $10. Don't miss out! This crazy offer is only on Tuesdays and only at KFC. KFC Nassau, it's finger-licking good.
Welcome to Talking Heads with Naughty. This is Pearly with you today, hanging out for Naughty. I guess he got some other jokers people to deal with today, but so he asked me to hang on here and see what's happening in sports. Great things are happening. There's a lot to talk about in the NBA. Not too much to talk about in the NBA. The NBA championships are going on, so that's the big thing to be talking about right now. And some stuff happening in Major League Baseball. Some people going down. Some players calling up. So, and some good things happening for Bahamian local sports. So, should be a good time. We should have a good time. It'll be up to you to call. Let's just get the housekeeping out of the way, and I'll not be able to take any texts today because I'm actually broadcasting from site, off site. So I won't be able to see the text lines, but if you want to call in, it's 323-6232-325-4316 or 326-4259. Let's say it again, 323-6232-316 or 326-4259. If you want to call from the Family Islands, 242-300-5720. Feel free to call in. We can talk whatever you want to talk about in sports. I try to keep up with you. But let's see what's happening today in sports history. Let's see what's been going on. What made history sports today? Today being, what's today's date now? June 6th? I live in that good. I don't even know what today's date is. We'll get to it in 3/2 of a second. Today in sports history. Today is Tuesday, June 6th, 2023. On this day in sports. In 1890, United States Polo Association was founded in New York. And polo has kind of grown in the Bahamas. We've been doing pretty well in the junior level. In 1934, Merrill Hodge, New York Yankees, hit 6 singles in the game against the Boston Red Sox. In 1939, the New York Giants hit 5 home runs in the 4th inning in a 17-3 victory over the Cincinnati Reds. We now know them as the San Francisco Giants. In 1946, the Basketball Association of America was formed in New York City, New York. In 1965, Tom Thresh, New York Yankees, hit home runs on 3 consecutive at-bats against the Chicago White Sox. In 1989, Wayne Gretzky of the Los Angeles Kings won the Hart Trophy for the 9th time. He was the first player in NHL history to win the same award 9 times. In 1992, Eddie Murray passed Mickey Mantle as the all-time switch hitter RBI list. Mantle held the record at 1,509. In 1996, John Valentin became the 14th player in Boston Red Sox history to hit on all at-bats during a game. He hit for the cycle when he went 4-for-4 against the Chicago White Sox. That means he had a single, a double, a triple, and a home run all in the same game. That's what you call hitting for the cycle. Peter Frostberg of the Colorado Avalanche scored a first-period hat-trick against the Florida Panthers in game finals. He became only the third player in NHL history to score a first-period hat-trick in the Cup final. He was also the 6th player to score a hat-trick in the Cup final game. In 1996, John Sakic of the Colorado Avalanche tied the Stanley Cup record when he assisted in 4 goals against the Florida Panthers. It pretty much was the same game. In 1996, Baseball Executive Council told Marge Schott, owner of the Cincinnati Reds, to give up day-to-day operations within the week or face a suspension of more than a year. Schott had caused controversy with comments she made concerning Adolf Hitler in an ESPN interview. In 2003, the Seattle Mariners were defeated by the New York Mets to end their 13-game road-winning streak. And the sports quote of the day: half this game is 90% mental. That's by Yogi Berra. So that's history brought to you by our great friends at Fine Red. How's everybody doing out?
Good, buddy. How you doing?
Mystery and I get off about who's going to win. Tomorrow is not every day. Now, the finals are a little different in the playoffs. The playoffs is every other day. It's now every 3 days or every third day. So they play tomorrow in Miami, or they say in South Beach. They play tomorrow. The series is 2-2. And there's been a lot of talk because, I came out and said, to me, it smells like a, we have a caller?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, what's up? Talk to me, man.
How you doing, man?
How you good? Who this?
Darren, listen, I got a question for you, right?
Okay.
You, on the Bahamas Games, you hearing anything in terms of persons who are wanting to register for the various islands?
I can be very serious. I have heard absolutely nothing about the Bahamas Games other than the ad that's playing on this show. I questioned the day I said the Bahamas Games is a month away and they were not hearing right. anything about it. I'm being told that it's being carried on, that stuff is happening. So my advice would be to you, and I would contact the LOC at the stadium. I think that's who's handling the setup of it, and they'd be able to give you some information on it, or call the Ministry of Sports, and they should be able to tell you something. But I've been saying, I'm not hearing anything about it. The hype isn't there like it has been for the past ones.
Right. They need to put some information out there, man.
Yeah, it's hard to find out. Like I said, I questioned somebody the other day. They were still loving the Bahamas Games, and they said, yeah. And I told them I heard nothing. And then the ads are now playing. So, and advertising, okay. I think it's July 7th to the 15th or 8th to the 15th.
Right.
But I remember the last Bahamas Games, I mean, by this time, they already had the drafts. Family Island teams were picked, because sometimes island teams don't have enough for certain. Like Inagua got some fellas. Some of the Ford brothers came from Nassau and played for Inagua the last time. So we really need to know what's going on, and hopefully I can get somebody from the Ministry of Sports on the show.
I'll
speak to Naughty, but we'll make an effort to get them on the show so we can talk about what's happening, get some details out there, because I'm the one who's excited about the Bahamas Games. I've always been excited about it, and I fully want to support the Bahamas Games.
Right.
I wanted to be more involved, but I'll buy them a ticket and go watch the games. But I hope they get some more information on, because people are starting to ask about it.
Right. Okay.
Okay.
Well, all right.
For calling.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. All righty. But since the caller brought up the Bahamas Games, you might as well move right in and see what's happening on the local front. I want to say congratulations out to Kara Sanders. She became the latest Bahamian to earn a pro card in bodybuilding and fitness by winning the women's wellness short class title at the IFBB Roger Boyce Amateur Classic in St. Michael's, Barbados over the weekend. She got a very, very nice physique. You know, got to be very politically correct. She has a very nice physique. Congratulations goes out to her. She's the 21st Bahamian to reach pro status in the sport. So that's wonderful. Congratulations out to her. She's averaging career lows in numbers, but team is winning. And I've been watching Jonquel at the New York Liberty in the WNBA, and her numbers, she's below double digits in each category. Granted that they have a superstar scoring machine in the young lady's name is there now, but her numbers are down. The Liberty are winning. I think they're 4-2 or 5-2. They just lost a couple of nights ago, but they have a really good team. Once Jonquel got going on, they're going to be pretty much unstoppable. I think the only team that may be able to stand up to them would be the Aces. And the Bahamas National Beach Soccer Team inspires students. And I want to also say congratulations out to the organizers and the participants of the Long Island Regatta. All I'm hearing is the new legend, Susan Chase. So it looked like the Long Island boys did great and basically swept the regatta. And they usually do well in all regattas. So congratulations to the new legend. Congratulations to the Susan Chase. And particularly congratulations to the organizers of the Long Island Regatta. I've always been, I have no roots in Long Island. My family from Eleuthera and Inagua. But I've always enjoyed the Long Island Regatta more than any other regatta. Because in my opinion, it was truly a community event, truly a regatta. It's truly a homecoming sort of event, void of any kind of politics, void of any kind of controversy other than just the sport itself of sloop sailing. And so I want to congratulate the people from Long Island, the beautiful regatta site they have there in Salt Pond. And I know they did a fantastic job from what I've heard. The racing was awesome as always. So again, congratulations to Long Island. Congratulations to the Legend Class A. And congratulations to the Susan Chase, the Class B winners. We'll get the results from the others for you by tomorrow's show, so you can say congratulations to the Class C and D winners. But great job, guys. Great job. We're going to take a break right now. And when we come back, we'll delve into the NBA. And we'll talk a little about the NFL. And don't forget, we have Colin Cowherd coming up with the Final 10. And he's got some talks about the Miami Heat. So we'll talk about that. But we'll take a break right now. When we come back, we'll talk some NBA action.
When I got prostate cancer, my family didn't know if I was going to live. At Cancer Treatment Centers of America, I got an appointment. They presented me with treatment options, and they set up a robotic prostatectomy. When my scans came back, there are no signs of cancer. They don't see you as a number. They see you as a part of family. I'm going on with my life. It's a real gift.
Call us at Cancer Treatment Centers of America.
Juicy fried chicken, mashed potatoes with gravy, and a hot buttery biscuit for only $5. That's genius. Part of the KFC Genius menu, the KFC $5 snack box delivers on flavor and value. Need to feed more than one? KFC's Great Picks has got you covered. Packed with 4 thighs and 4 legs, fried to golden perfection, plus 4 buttery biscuits for only $20. More genius. Hungry for deals? The Genius Menu at KFC. It's finger-licking good.
George, shoes and accessories is your one-stop shop for all your footwear needs. Whatever the occasion, John's is confident you will find what you're looking for. Among our always growing collection of amazing and trendy styles, we cover women, men, children, the whole family. Together with John's great prices and helpful and friendly customer service, your experience in shopping with us will be time well spent. Too busy to come in store? Shop with us online. www.johnshoes.com. Results on our carry small home appliances. So come on in today at John's, where we put fashion at your feet.
People, what you're thinking?
We want something different.
Uh-huh. People, what you wanting?
We want local government.
I can tell them no more slunking.
We want the function.
I can tell them no more joking.
I forgot.
Going down Blue Hill Road, going down Village Road, going down Nassau Road. We want local government. We want local government. We want local government.
We
want local government.
We are called for local government.
Sign the petition and find out more information at risebahamas.net.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
We're back. The Talking Heads with Naughty. This is your brother, your guy, your friend, your nemesis, Curly. On for Naughty today as he's out doing that comedy stuff, you know, trying to make some people laugh. So he asked me to sit in here and have a conversation with you guys on sports. So, NBA Finals. Not every other day now. It's every third day, I guess. So tomorrow night in Florida, South Florida, the Denver Nuggets tied 1-1 with the Miami Heat will be in Miami. Now, this is my analogy of the game, my analysis of the game. This is what I saw it as, you know, and I know Mystery Demons get mad at me when I say this. The while they deny that they're taking away the passing lanes from the Joker, that's what they're doing. Whenever you see the Joker has 10 or more assists, they usually win. Anytime he's under 10 assists, they fight, and more times, more often than not, they lose those games. Points. He put up 41 points, but he only had 4 assists, 10 rebounds, 10 or 11 rebounds. And I think that hurt Denver more than anything else. Of course, the Heat hit an astronomical amount of threes. That's the most they've hit in their playoff history. They, I think 29 or something like that, they would ball in. I don't know if they can hit that many threes coming, even though Hero is back. Hopefully he'll be back tomorrow night. They don't know, maybe by game 3 for sure. But even if he's back, he's their best three-point shooter. I don't know if they can hit that many threes again. I don't know if they can do that. Maybe, maybe not. They can call me wrong. They've been proving me wrong in every series. I picked Milwaukee to beat them. They beat Milwaukee. I picked them to beat the Knicks, even though I was a little bit apprehensive about that. They beat the Knicks. I was so certain Boston was going to walk all over them. They almost swept Boston. So they've been proving me wrong, and maybe they'll prove me wrong in this series as well. But I don't fail, man. I can't get four wrong. You think so? But we'll see what happens there. We will see what happens. And I will hold to my opinion. And it played out to show me that the Heat will go as far as Jimmy Butler can carry them. I don't see Vincent shooting the way he shot night before last. I don't see those guys being that hot. Maybe they will, but I think Denver's going to prevail, and I wouldn't be surprised if Denver takes two in Miami. I think they'll take one, and I think they'll come back to Denver tied 2-2 or Denver up 3-1. So time will tell. If Denver takes this game one in Miami or game three, which is the first game in Miami, oh boy, they could be in some big, big, big problems. But it's interesting that I think Pat Riley is celebrating. I can't remember how many years that he became a Miami Heat president and general manager. He brought a culture of never giving up, and it's paying off. Heard the story about how Jimmy Butler was coerced to come into Miami to show that he fits into that system, and it is paying off. Credit where credit is due. I mean, I cannot deny that. It is paying off in the sense that they're winning. You know, Butler's probably the best clutch player in playoff history. I mean, and that's saying a lot when you get people like Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, Larry Bird, and others like that. For me to even try to say that, but he has proven to be a clutch ball player. He has proven. I sometimes see him take these shots when they really, really needed it in the fourth quarter, and bang, thinking he got the brother just nailing them. So he has proven to be probably the best clutch player in playoff history, and that's a good argument we could have. And anybody want to challenge me on it, come back and tell me. I know Misty will agree with that right up to now. But when you look at players like Dwayne Wade, you look at players like Michael Jordan, Larry Bird, even sometimes, in some sense, Kevin McHale, those were clutch ball players who found ways to drain the bucket late in the fourth quarter when you needed 2 points to stay in the game, or 2 points to go ahead, or 2 points to hold a barrage from the other team. And those guys, Jimmy Butler fits right into that mold. He fits right into that conversation. He has been clutch. That's the best way to say it, clutch. So we'll see what happens tomorrow night. We'll see what's going on and all what's going on. But some other news are there. We know that there's been talk that James Harden may go back to the Houston Rockets. And I think he's a bit torn between going there. So I think that's one. I don't envy the decision that he has to make there. Decide, does he want to stay in Philadelphia? Or does he want to go back home to Houston? Chances have been that so if he's serious about winning a title, if that was on his mind, then fine. He should stay in Philly. But if he has some nostalgia and wants to go back there, then brother, all may, go ahead. You have a caller?
Yeah. Hey, Perry. How you doing, man?
Hey, Perry.
What's happening, brother?
Hey, man. This is your favorite Buffalo Bills in New York Yankees calling. I ain't calling for a little while, I just wanted to chime in a little bit on the finals. I think I heard you were mentioning a little bit that you kind of picked the Milwaukee Bucks to sweep the floor with them, and they end up, you know, getting beaten. I'm just like you two. I picked the Bucks to beat them, and they end up beating the Bucks. I picked the Boston Celtics. You know, just like you, I thought Boston was gonna sweep them off the floor, mop them off the floor, and they end up. This Miami Heat is just, I don't know. They every time someone like overestimate them or underestimate them, they seem to pro true or something. But this way, I don't know if you noticed this. They look like no one could figure out that zone defense they began in, man. That Spoelstra, I've been playing that zone defense, and no team seemed like they could figure out the zone defense that in the fourth quarter. And my thing is, if that has happened, why you don't do that like for the full game? You know, you usually just go in the fourth quarter and do it. So, you know, I just want to know what your input is on that.
That zone is a lot of movement, a lot of switching. It takes a lot out of them to do it. So for them to run it for the whole game, a team would probably figure it out if you run it for the whole game. So I think the timing that he uses to call it in the fourth quarter when you use it a man-to-man, and he switches from it, you know, he goes into the zone, and then when the team maybe starts to do something a little different, he goes back to man-to-man, and he comes back to the zone. And for some reason, you're right, they just have not been able to figure it out. And he's used it in the fourth quarter against Denver, and he used it some in the third and the fourth quarter against Denver again in game two. And yes, it's worked for them. I'm giving Scotia a lot of credit. That's probably one of the better coaches in the NBA today.
He's becoming a Bill Belichick, of the NBA, man.
When you say Bill Belichick, you take a little far when you say, but that's all right.
Think so bad. I mean, Bill Belichick known for bringing no name players and making them win Super Bowls. You know what I mean? All the animals, them and you know all the other guys.
And, I mean, they do have you know, they do. I think they have seven undrafted players, which is tremendous. And but one of the what I like about them is they don't get into the hype. No. They say, forget what's going on there. We don't care what's going on there. We just worrying about the 15 of us in this room. We worrying about this team. We worrying about the togetherness of the team. And we can deal with all of that stuff after. And that,
exactly.
You don't get into the hype and don't let it get into your head, your confidence level grows. And I'm willing to bet you they're going to come out there in game three so confident, which could be a little scary because they may be a bit overconfident, but we'll see.
Yeah.
But I think their confidence level is very high right now.
I don't like that line. The line is 2.5. But the emphasis is about 2.5. Why all of a sudden now it's 2.5, and all of a sudden all the other games is like 8, 7.5 plus, you know? It's just
waiting. Because what's going on is Miami is figuring them out. So that 2.5 that 2.5 means I could go anyway.
Yeah, that's true.
That's almost a pick'em.
Yeah. All right, bye, buddy. I can't wait for tomorrow night, you know, you'll see. I know. It looks like Miami's like they figure something out, so. We'll see. I'm
a NBA
fan, but I'm an NBA fan, so, you know, I like to watch.
Yeah, same thing, you know, NBA fan, but I've not seen Denver play a lot all season, but watching them in the playoffs, the Joker got me impressed. That Murray, that duo, I'm impressed.
I mean, like, you don't have an ounce of athleticism in his body, like, he can get up, like, put so high on the ground, and, you know, but he's still a fraud. It's just rare to me.
You're right.
Yeah. All right, buddy. Take it easy, man.
All right, brother. Good to hear your voice. Take care, man.
Yeah, brother. You too.
Okay. You have another call on Mr. Arlington? Okay, so go back to what's going on in the NBA now. They're talking about James Harden is torn between moving on, so that's going to be interesting to watch. I'm going to keep close watch of that and see what's happening there. We know that the NBA lottery has been done. We know who has the first pick, and everybody know the French, that 7'5" French phenom would be the number one pick. But there's a kid, there's a freshman out of Alabama called Brandon Miller. I couldn't remember his first name, Brandon Miller. Speculating, in my opinion, I think Brandon Miller is going to be a superstar in the NBA. He has all the tools, the athleticism. And I think if he holds his head, because he did get in a little bit of trouble, if he holds his head and matures and does well, I think the Hornets will pick him at number two. And I think you'll be pleasantly surprised that, and here's my bold prediction, rookie of the year. You can mark it and you can put that down, rookie of the year. And speaking of the French, they've been showing a lot of highlights with this kid. Oh, today marks, I remember this happening. If anybody remember when the Lakers and the Phillies played, and game one, Iverson got off on the Lakers, and he took this jump shot. He did a crossover step back move on Tyronn Lue, jump shot, and took him out of his shoes, and landed, and Tyronn Lue fell, and he stepped over him, like literally stepped over him, and that caused a little controversy. So I guess they are making that a big deal. The big talk now in the NBA, the big talk in the NBA right now today, is what Kyrie Irving said the other day. And Nardi and I touched on it a little bit yesterday, that Kyrie wants Dallas to pursue a trade to bring LeBron James to Dallas so they can have a big three. Now, get out of your head now. As much as I would love for that to happen, if they were to pay Kyrie the max deal that he's entitled to, and you know you ain't bringing LeBron over there for no $5, so you got to pay LeBron big money. What this will do is, this will pretty much put Dallas' payroll, the three of them, getting the max deals, at $134 million, which will be the salary cap for next year. So you got to play five players. You got nobody else you can pay because you have no more money. So that right there wipes it out. Now, unless Kyrie Irving said, listen, give me $10 million this year, give LeBron $10 million and use the rest of the money to bring some other players in. But LeBron ain't going to do that, and Kyrie ain't going to do that because this is about business. So anybody who listening to that rumor, anybody who believe in that rumor, put it out your head now. It ain't gonna happen. It will not happen. It cannot happen financially. unless both of those players, or particularly any one of those players, take a major, major pay cut. Now, LeBron's time to make, he's already on salary, so he'll have to basically, I don't think they can restructure like the NBA, and then I have to check that out like that. And if I'll take the minimum, the veteran minimum to play. Kyrie ain't gonna do that. Because he doesn't lose enough money. The only person I know don't want to come to work. But not the only person I know, but the rich person like that, making all that money and don't want to come to work. So he's been cut so many times, he had to make that money back. So if you're hoping, if you're praying for and wishing that Kyrie Irving, LeBron James, and Luka get together, it will not happen. So just keep that out your head. Don't dream about that no more. Don't think about that no more. Move on from that. But let's hypothetically look at it. That could be an NBA winning championship thing next year. It won't be LeBron's team. It'll be Luka's team as it is. And I think LeBron won't have to do as much that he has to do. And if he comes in and accepts the third role or the second role in that on that team, they could be something to look at. That could be a team to reckon with. But as you know, the good thing is the NBA gods or the basketball gods they're not gonna allow that to happen. So financially, like I said, LeBron is already under contract for this year and next year. Luka's under contract. So and Kyrie is due a max deal. So if you do that, like I said, it's gonna be $134 million and the salary cap next year is $134 million. So all those other players, everybody gotta go. But it'll be a sweet trade to look at because I think Dallas got the number 10 pick. So if Dallas is to send the Lakers the number 10 pick and three or four other players to offset the money, and with Lakers having the number 17 pick, that could be very, very interesting for my Lakers. But in this sports world and in the offseason, as the offseason is about to come, talking pool is a very serious thing. Talking food is a very serious thing, and that, my friends, would be talking food. I do not see that happening. Do not look for that to happen. But we'll monitor it because I've seen some stranger things happen in the NBA, and I've seen some stranger things happen in the world of sports. So I would not be surprised if something like that is pulled off, but I don't see that happening. So I'm going to rest that one on the side and move on. What's been happening in Major League Baseball? Yeah, Naughty's Yankees. Both us were off yesterday. I think the Yankees go to Chicago and play the White Sox, and the Dodgers tonight are playing the Cincinnati Reds. I noticed that Jacob deGrom is out for the season. He has to go have Tommy John surgery, and then he missed the rest of the season. Now this is June, so he's basically going to be out until next July, August. And if he heals well, he'll be back by then. So that's kind of scary for them. Texas put some money into him. Texas really playing some really, really good baseball right now. I think they got, I think they're in first place, if I remember correctly. They're doing extremely well. Seaman and the others are hitting the hell out of the ball. The pitching has come around really, really well. So this is a blow to them. They're in first place with that. They got one of the best records in baseball, 39-20. They're a whole three and a half games up on the Houston Astros and nine games on the Angels. And I'm praying for the Angels to keep losing. But hurry up, get out by the end of June, be out of playoff contention, be but double figures out of the first place role, and make that trade to the Dodgers of sending the Japanese phenom to LA. And I would be the happiest man in the Bahamas, in the baseball, happiest baseball fan. Then you got the Twins, who went to 29. They're 3.5 up over the Guardians. The Blue Jays are still leading. They're 43-19. And the Yankees are 6.5 games behind them. When we go over to the National League, it's getting real interesting over there. Atlanta is 3 games up on the Miami Marlins. And it's interesting, the Miami is holding on with their star player, Jazz Chisholm and the Bahamian, who's been out for a while, but Miami is playing consistent baseball, solid baseball, and holding on. But they were thinking about making some trades. If they play like this and continue to be in the money for the playoffs, I don't see that happening. At least not a trade that will hurt them. Small market teams, and two really small market teams in terms of the Pittsburgh Pirates and Oakland A's. Pittsburgh sitting on top of the National League Central, a whole half a game on top of the Milwaukee Brewers and 5.5 on top of the Cincinnati Reds. at 32-20. They're playing phenomenal baseball. A team that has probably a payroll that two or three players of the Dodgers can pay in total. And they're playing very good ball, but this happens all every year. These low marketers that do it until injuries come in, and then you realize that you don't have the second tier players with your team, and then you start losing, and the fatigue sets in, the pressure of baseball sets in. Young players don't get all the way through, but we call it dog days or summer, which is August. The Dodgers and the Arizona Diamondbacks are tied for first place. The Dodgers are alphabetically in second place. The Arizona eight at Dodgers LA, 35 and 20, 25. So that's going to be a good race. Again, another young team, but it's rising baseball, and we'll swim in their pool again this year like we did before and piss a lot of them off. So you got the Dodgers at Cincinnati tonight. You got the Royals and the Marlins playing tonight. You got Detroit at Philadelphia. You got the Minnesota Twins at the Tampa Bay Rays. You got these are all those games are 6:40 in the 7:05 games. You got the Oakland Athletics at the two. Like I just mentioned, the two small market teams, but Oakland is heading in the opposite direction. Can't buy a win. Their starting pitcher is 0-6 today, going against Keller from Pittsburgh, who's 7-1. So you got the Oakland at Pittsburgh. So and Oakland is thinking about moving over to Las Vegas. The Las Vegas, I will say Senate or legislation, just defeated a bill to finance a new stadium. So now the governor is in a special session of the Congress and see if they can vote to support it because Oakland wants to move to Las Vegas, but they need a stadium. So they're trying to work that out. So we'll see what happens there. The Chicago White Sox will be in the Bronx tonight with the New York Yankees. The Arizona Diamondbacks at 7:05 also playing the Washington Nationals. Houston Astros is at Toronto Blue Jays. That should be a pretty good game to watch. The Boston Red Sox at the Cleveland Guardians. This is the game I really want to see, but I'll be watching my Dodgers. The New York Mets at the Atlanta Braves. Baltimore Orioles at Milwaukee Brewers. At 7:05, the Cardinals is at the Rangers. At 8:40, the San Francisco Giants at the Colorado Rockies. At 9:38, you got the Chicago Cubs at the Los Angeles Angels. Go Cubbies, go Cubbies. And at 9:40, you got the Seattle Mariners at the San Diego Padres. In other sports, and then the Dodgers are playing Cincinnati. The Dodgers are at Cincinnati tonight at 7:10. And we've got our great Gosselin going against Weaver. So we'll see what happens there, using my nickname. In the WNBA, we got the defending champ, the Las Vegas Aces, playing the Connecticut Suns. The Indiana Sky and the LA Sparks will be with the Seattle Storm. So that's it. That's what's going on today in sports. With who's playing tonight? I got to give you some picks. Let me see. All right, let's see. Let me see. I got the Dodgers taking. The Dodgers will be taking the Reds tonight. I will go with the Marlins over the Royals tonight. I will go with the Pirates over the Oakland A's tonight. The Yankees over the Chicago White Sox. And here's this one, your ladies, in Toronto Blue Jays over the Houston Astros. Bet those tonight, people. Put them in your parlay tonight with Island Games. And you should win. Just don't forget to buy my lunch. All right, Mr. Producer, we're going to take a break. And then when you come back, Colin Cowherd with the final 10 will be coming in. He's going to be talking a little bit about Jimmy Butler, the culture of the Miami Heat, and why they've been underestimated by every single person whoever pulls for basketball outside of a Heat fan. So this is going to be interesting to see what they got to talk about. That's it for sports. It's been fun. It's been great. Thanks for calling. Thanks for all our sponsors. Thanks for listeners. We'll see you tomorrow when Naughty comes back and we're talking some more sports. He or she say, be good. If you can't be good, be safe. I can say, if you can't be safe, be good at it. Take your time. Drive safe. And be careful out there. We'll see you tomorrow. This has been Pearly for Talking Heads, filling in for Naughty. It's been real fun. I'm glad to be here with you. Take care of yourselves, everybody.
Experience the pure deliciousness of Dunkin's Glazed Donut Breakfast Sandwich. This sweet and savory breakfast treat stacks a fluffy egg and smoked bacon sandwiched inside a split classic Dunkin' Glazed Donut through Dunkin' Coffee. Stop by your favorite Dunkin' today and take breakfast to a fun and tasty level with the Dunkin' Glazed Donut Breakfast Sandwich. The Bahamas runs on Dunkin'.
The Road to 50 Committee presents the Golden Jubilee Tea Party, a celebration of Bahamian artists and artisans. Under the patronage of Mrs. Anne Marie Davis, spouse of the Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, the Golden Jubilee Tea Party will take place at Bahama Resort on Sunday, June 11th, 3 p.m. For ticket information, call the National Independence Secretariat at 604-1020 or email independencebahamas@gmail.com.
Almost there.
Sarge, that's you.
Well, who else?
Tell the truth. I thought a beige walrus was dying on the sidewalk.
I'm preparing for my 4x100-meter debut.
More like 1x1, because the other 99 killing you.
Funny. The Bahamas game's coming July 7th to July 15th, and Grand Bahama gotta win this.
Well, you know that.
Email info at thebahamasgames.org or call 322-1029 for more information.
Which island is gonna win?
Play with Island Games.
We making dreams come true.
Play with Island Games.
We paying more out to you. Don't mind the noise in the market. You getting cash in your pocket.
Cause Island Games is spicy, and spicy is tradition.
So when you play
Island Games,
we putting Bahamians first, guaranteed to pay.
Island Games.
We like them other jokers. We've been here from the start, from the bike to computer.
Island Games.
We can make your dreams come true.
We playing with Island Games.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Nick right now joining us. Let's shift gears. A co-host, first things first. So, I thought it's interesting. I was talking about this yesterday, and you do your celebrity club stuff and your tiers for players. And I said, I got...
Celebrity club.
What do you call it? What is it called?
Club superstars. Okay. Celebrities are who you have drinks with, you know, out in L.A. at Javier's. NBA superstars is what we talk about in gritty New York City afternoon sports talk. But go right ahead.
Okay. So and I put the 10 guys in the league, and I think playoff performance matters. And I said the one guy I can't quite figure out is Jimmy Butler. I don't think he's one of the 10 most talented players. I don't think he's one of the 10 most gifted. But he literally, if you said game 7, fourth quarter, who do you want in the league? I'd be like, Steph, Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, like, there's what not many more.
Like
right,
what?
Talent's overrated, Colin. Colin, in our business, talent's overrated. What you know what's underrated? What works? What gets it done? And I know that sounds kind of like an old school, almost malapropism, but it's not. Like, I have heard for 2 months how untalented the Heat are, which either means the talent evaluators are wrong, or talent is not what wins, or talent is overrated. I'm going to give you a few Jimmy Butler stats, and then I want to ask you a question. Since Jimmy Butler joined the Miami Heat lead the entire NBA in playoff wins. Think about that.
Wow.
Over the last 4 years, no team has more wins than Jimmy Butler's Heat. Over the last 4 years, no one has more 40-point games in the playoffs than Jimmy Butler. Over the last 4 years, only Nikola Jokic has more 30-point triple-doubles in the playoffs than Jimmy Butler. And he's doing it without stars around him. So here is what I would say. I would say Jokic, Giannis, and Steph are, if we are saying who you want for the postseason, those guys are your top three in some order. Jimmy Butler, along with, in my opinion, LeBron, Devin Booker, KD, and Luka, are that next group. Like, now, how do you rank them? 4, 5, 6, 7? We can discuss it. But how could anyone argue that when it comes to the postseason, they would rather have Joel Embiid? that they would rather have any of those other guys who have shown, have not shown the ability to raise their game in these moments. And so if Jimmy Butler is not a top five player in basketball, fine. Is he a top five playoff player? Absolutely he is. And he takes what your guy Draymond Green first talked about to its furthest logical conclusion. 82-game players and 16-game players. Now, the best in league history are both. Great regular seasons and raise their game in the playoffs. Steph does that. LeBron does that. Jokic is doing it right now. Giannis has done that. Jimmy, though, is the more value. If you can only have an 82-game guy like a James Harden
right.
or a 16-game guy like Jimmy Butler, obviously Jimmy Butler's more valuable.
Okay, I want to throw a football thing at you. So,
yeah.
It's Kansas City's the best team in the league, best quarterback, and I think best coach built for this culture. I thought Belichick was the best coach when you could grab players and hit players above the shoulders, and the world's changed. Belichick's tone-deaf to offense. And I saw this story, and I made a point of it today. Buffalo has now signed three defensive linemen this offseason. Ed Oliver, a nose tackle, Leonard Floyd. Still can't get the O-line right. Pittsburgh still can't get the O-line right. Belichick still can't get the offense right. And I look at this Buffalo with Josh Allen. They'd love DeAndre Hopkins. Probably won't be able to afford him. Stephon Diggs was held to 40 yards basically in a playoff game because you can double him. You can basically slide your defense over. When you look at Buffalo as a Kansas City Chief, do you even view them as a threat anymore, or are they becoming tone-deaf to offense?
No, listen, I think their window will reopen again at some point in the future, but I think they missed their window with this iteration of the team in those 13 seconds. The time to get Kansas City was when they got them. They were leading a playoff game in Arrowhead with 13 seconds to go, and they let go of the rope. And last year they were worse than that, and I don't know why next year we expect them to be better. I said something on the TV show yesterday that my colleagues across the table scoffed at, laughed at. Honestly, Colin, they were downright rude to me.
Yeah.
But I think you'll agree with me. Maybe. Who is better positioned for this upcoming season? The Jacksonville Jaguars or the Buffalo Bills?
Jags.
So let's go through it.
Yeah.
Yes. So last year, they both won their division. They both had a Pro Bowler at quarterback. They both won a playoff game and then lost a playoff game. The Jags' playoff win was a stirring comeback against a very good Charger team and then a road playoff loss to the champs by 7. The Bills' playoff story was escaping against Skylar Thompson and then following that up with getting blown out at home by Cincinnati. So that's last year. Now this year, the Jags are in the best possible division you can be in with a quarterback who is clearly ascending. The Bills are maybe in the toughest division in football with a quarterback that's been, as I've said, up and down, game to game, week to week, quarter to quarter, year to year. They're changing their defensive coordinator. There's questions to me about that offensive coordinator post Dable. Like, to me, the Chiefs are a clear one. Cincinnati has earned the right to be a clear two. And then Jacksonville, Baltimore, Buffalo are all in a group. But the Bills have just gotten this. I mean, you know who's on the cover of Madden this year, Colin?
Who?
Josh Allen. He can hang that with his banners for, you know, September champs and throw the football out of the stadium. Like, there's a lot of hype surrounding Buffalo every year that they have yet to earn, in my opinion.
I want to circle back to the NBA. So there was a story of obviously Kyrie or somebody connected to Kyrie gave to Shams or Chris Haynes that, you know, he wants LeBron to go to Dallas. Unlikely, but I thought if I was LeBron, I'd sit and listen, talk it over with my wife, glass of wine. It's interesting. Play with Luka, who can play 70 games. LeBron now has to have teammates that can play 70 games because AD doesn't. And you just get to a point where if AD goes down, LeBron at his age has to play 40 minutes. It doesn't work that way. But I will say this. I do think Kyrie would make the Lakers better. But immediately on that story, the Lakers immediately leaked this. The Lakers maintained on Monday, not interested in adding Kyrie. Is this Genie and Rob Pelinka saying, no. We're not giving you the franchise. We're slowly taking it back. What do you think that means? An immediate leak to their sources, we're not interested in the Kyrie business.
Well, I think that's smart. So first, let's talk about the LeBron to Dallas part of it. It's one of those things, Colin, I'll tell you what it's like. It's like if I were to leak to a reporter, I want to add Colin Cowherd to First Things First. Sounds great. Great chemistry between us. Can't fit it under the cap. I know you say that we have a show with unlimited budget. They're like, hey, add Colin. It'd be wonderful. That'd be fun. There's no way to make the money work there, unfortunately. Like the idea, I read this story, the initial story, and it's one of the most curious stories I've ever read. It had in there this line that the Mavs were considering trying to trade for LeBron last year when the Lakers were struggling, which is fascinating because LeBron was literally ineligible to be traded last year. The CBA wouldn't allow it because of when he signed his contract. They then added a line to the story that said, even though LeBron was ineligible. So what type of meeting is that? I'm just curious. Hey, guys, you want to trade for LeBron? Yeah, I want to trade for LeBron. And just some guy in the corner with the CBA is like, fellas, we're not allowed to. They're like, okay, cool, meeting over. So I didn't understand that. Then it said the easiest way for LeBron to get to Dallas was if he was bought out by the Lakers. I don't think Jeannie Buss and Rob Pelinka are the best executives in basketball, but I do think that if they are faced with the choice of, we could pay LeBron James $45 million to play basketball for us or $40 million to not play basketball for us, I think they're going to choose door number one. So there is no way for LeBron to get to the Mavs this year.